and not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, as this is a sacred time consecrated to you, it is a blessed gift from you that we can spend this time in congregation to worship you, to seek your will, and to rest just as you've commanded. And so, Lord, now we pray, just as your word teaches us today, enable us by your Spirit to seek the things that are above where Christ is. We pray that you would help us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to set our minds on the will and the statutes and the goodness and the saving grace of Christ Jesus, our King. At this time, as we now turn to your blessed word, and always, every day of our lives, as we are now members of your body in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week, moving on to verse 1 to 4 of the third chapter of this epistle. In chapter 2 of Colossians, if you think back, we learned that at salvation, every believer has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. At salvation, the Holy Spirit radically and permanently transformed our hearts towards God. So the old person we once were, hardened and unbelieving towards the God of truth, is now dead. By the power of God, we've been raised a new person with open and receptive hearts towards him. Just as surely as Christ died and was raised physically, all who are in Christ died and have been raised a new person spiritually. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ. So our text for today reminds us that if we've been raised a new person with transformed hearts towards God and Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. What does it mean to seek the things that are above? Well, above refers to heaven. Since heaven is, as we read in verse 1, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God, the risen Jesus reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King of the universe. And this is a fact that is fully manifest in heaven. Everyone loves and serves Christ in heaven. Everyone. Well, it's a different story here on earth. The fact of Christ's kingship is denied and ignored by the world. So in its rebellion against God's anointed king, the world refuses to serve him and seeks after its own goals and pleasures. To seek the things that are above is to join the heavenly host in serving Jesus Christ as he reigns as king. It is to seek the things that he is concerned with. It is to seek the things that he commands. It is to seek the things that please him. before the Spirit of God transformed our hearts, seeking the things of King Jesus would have been the furthest thing from our minds. When we could seek the things of the world and all its temporary appeal and glamour, why in the world would we want to seek the things of Christ? But that person we once were, who was all too occupied with seeking the things on earth to seek the things of Christ, is dead and buried. If we are genuine believers, we have been raised a new person who now desires the things of Christ. We want to obey our King. We want to join the heavenly host in serving our Lord and pleasing Him. Since this is now true of us in Christ, fulfill those new holy desires that are within us and join with the heavenly host in seeking the things of our Lord and King. The temptation to seek the things that are on earth is very real. As believers, we can be seduced from seeking the heavenly goal to focus on and to strive after earthly goals, such as status and fame and the approval of man and various short-lived pleasures. But the backslide into striving after the things on earth goes against our deepest longing and results in inner turmoil, misery, and the corrective discipline of the King to whom we belong. Several years ago, I took a break from pastoral ministry to enroll in coding boot camp. As you may know, coding boot camp is an intensive program designed to teach computer or programming or coding skills to people with no background in computer science. When I enrolled, I was determined to be the best in my class. I was ambitious to outperform most everyone else enrolled in the boot camp and to become the cream of the crop by the time I graduated. Well, initially, things looked promising, and I took pride at how quickly I was picking things up. But once we moved on from the basics and began learning the more complex aspects of web development, I noticed that I was beginning to struggle with the coursework. And that was difficult because I noticed that others seemed to have little or no problems with the coursework. I redoubled my efforts to concentrate and to keep up. It didn't help much. And as each day passed by, I felt that I was slipping further and further behind many people in my class. And it got to the point that I dreaded going to class because I hated that feeling of confusion and mediocrity. And I remember one day getting to school early and sitting in my car, agitated and upset at the thought of going through yet another humiliating day in class. And at that time, I turned to the Lord in prayer for wisdom. That's how I could overcome this malcontent and anxiety. And as I prayed in my car, the thought occurred to me, I've been given this opportunity to learn web development, not to glorify myself by becoming a top student. I've been given this opportunity to learn web development in order to glorify Christ by using these skills in service to Him. But once I change what I was seeking from the things that are on earth to the things that are above, I no longer felt ashamed of my struggles in class. The goal wasn't about proving my sharpness and superiority. The goal was to learn a skill set that will be useful in service to my king. That freed me to be transparent about my challenges and to be humble about seeking help. And with this change of attitude, I found that my stress and anxiety levels dropped significantly. And that helped me immensely with my capacity to focus and to learn. The result was I became much more of a proficient student. And when all was said and done, I actually ended up doing pretty well. I should have put into practice verse 2 of our text from the very onset of that boot camp. So we read in verse 2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." In order to stay on track in seeking the things that are above, we must set our minds on the things that are above. What do we set our minds on? When the desire for the things that the world obsesses over begins to crowd out our desire for the things of Christ, where have we gone wrong? We've gone wrong in our mindset. Seeking the things that are above, the things of King Jesus, begins with setting our minds on the things of Christ Jesus. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. By the grace of God, we've been delivered from the domain of the devil and now belong to Christ Jesus, subjects of His heavenly kingdom. Our heart's greatest desire is for the things that are above, for the things of Christ Jesus, our King. We know and embrace that our careers are for Him. Our wealth is for Him. Our intellect is for Him. The strength, vigor, and health of our bodies is for Him. Our opportunities are for Him. Our talents and gifts are for Him. As you read in 2 Corinthians 5:15, "And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." We know we have been raised to spiritual life because our heart's deepest desire is to seek on earth the things that please and serve King Jesus as the saints and angels seek to do in heaven. So if this is true of us, set our minds on the things of King Jesus, not on the things of this world. Remember what our text tells us in verse 3 to 4. "For you have died." This is referring to those who are in Christ. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Remember our old self, who we were before we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, died. Inwardly, we are a new person. And day by day, we are being changed more and more into the likeness of our Lord and King. When Christ returns, we know that we will be made perfectly like Him, not only inwardly, but also outwardly. Our perfected souls will be reunited to our resurrected, glorified bodies, and we will be like Christ in fullness. And on that day, there will be no doubt at all in anyone's mind as to who we really are. We will, as Jesus says in Matthew 13, shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. Raised up with bodies of unimaginable glory. Until then, as we read in verse 3, our life is hidden with Christ in God. The world doesn't recognize who we are. Our ordinariness in terms of how we look, the jobs we work, the struggles we face, and the other mundane aspects of our lives conceals what will one day be revealed when our Lord returns. And what will be revealed, it will be revealed to all that we are children of God. No one will doubt it at that time, because we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. Radiant, glorious like Christ. Verse 4 of our text. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's what's promised to us. Since this is true of us, if we're in Christ, why set our minds on the things which the world, in its unbelief, pursue and lust after? We know that these are all futile and worthless pursuits. The glory of these worldly desires will soon pass away into nothing. But there is a better glory that is promised to us. A glory that will never pass away. Setting our minds on the things that are above will provoke the incredulity and ridicule of the world. People will look at us funny for seeking the things of Christ instead of all the things on earth that consume them. I personally have seen firsthand how doing something as basic as keeping the Lord's Day as a sacred Sabbath rest can provoke resentment and anger in others. How much more with the other things of Christ our King? But the ridicule and mockery and rage is only for a season. The time is coming when the aspersions of the unbelieving will be silenced for good, as we will shine like the sun in all its brightness. Silenced. It's not on the transcript, but I was reminded of something that happened to me several years ago. Many, many years ago, probably I think when I was in my 20s. I was a seminary student at the time. I had visited my mother's office in Elkins Park. And I walked in. I was sitting in like the lounge area. And this woman came stomping out of her office, face contorted with rage. And she accosted me and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And I was just taken aback. And I just told her, I'm the son of Mrs. O. And immediately, a kind of a light went on in her head, and she said, well, really? And then she went off to my mother's office to confirm if my story was true, and someone in there told her that I was the son of my mother, and she came back, and she looked mortified that she had screamed at me like that. And she apologized to me and walked off. Her rage was silenced. She didn't recognize who I was. No one special, of course. But she didn't recognize who I was. But then she did. And that will be what will happen one day when Christ returns. The world rages at us, doesn't recognize who we really are. It's only for a season. One day, their resentment and ridicule and mockery will be silenced for good. And they will acknowledge that we are children of God and loved by Him. As the Apostle John proclaims in full agreement with the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 John 3:2, a verse well familiar to most of us here, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." Sounds familiar because that's exactly what Apostle Paul is writing in verse 4 of our text. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's the glory that's in store for us. So why seek the glory that is on this earth, which is futile? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Holy Spirit's anointing, we pray that we who are indwelt with the selfsame Spirit of God will heed what has been proclaimed and listen, be encouraged, be strengthened in obedience to seek the things that are above where Christ is. To seek the things of Christ Jesus for all that we have, our gifts, our opportunities, our talents, our wealth, our strength, our intellect is all for Christ Jesus, the King. We pray, Lord God, that we regard all our resources in that way, that we regard our businesses that way, that we regard our education that way, that we regard our relationship with our family that way, that we regard all things in that way, because You are the King, Christ Jesus, the King, and we are Your subjects, who have been redeemed so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for You, Christ Jesus, who gave Your life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.